sorry, it looks like my desk. I had made copies of you or emailed you the National Forest and the Flood Control Lease
Thank you.
Flood Control Lease Receive information. Remember we talked about it? I pulled up, had Melissa pull up for me the tax codes and everything, and I was satisfied with the distribution for, Title 3. But the ones for flood control, remember I told you that I'd seen where there was like 1,400 acres for Branson School.
It wasn't listed on the prior apportionment?
Right.
Yes.
And I got to thinking about what you had said. A portion of this money that's going to Forsyth used to be Cedar Creek. It's now going to Forsyth School because Forsyth School absorbed.
Right.
So that Branson we were talking about, even if they had absorbed another school district, because every parcel in Taney County has a school district. So even if they had absorbed another school district, they should have absorbed those funds. So I would like to do the apportionment based on the numbers that I gave, or I'm not sure if I gave them to you or just told you about them. The amount is going to be less than, well, everybody except Taneyville.
Well, it's going to be my recommendation to this commission that we accept and approve whatever it is that you apportion based upon the formula that you've used for it's flood control and for forestry receipts, correct?
Right. The problem with the flood control is it says to use the levies. There are no assessed valuations for any of this property because it's owned by the United States government. So there's no assessed valuation for the property. Therefore, I cannot calculate an average of the levy. I can't do any mathematical use of the levy.
So you're doing it by acreage?
By acreage.
Okay.
Portion of the acreage is the only way that I can make any sense of it. And it kind of it does fall to the commission to determine how to distribute it according to everything I gave you in those statutes. So, I mean, we're not posted to make a vote today, but...
Well, we can't distribute other than what you tell us that's how it should be apportioned, right?
Yeah. It's your call to determine if I'm doing it correctly, Ron.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's why I gave you the statutes that talked about it. It's the commission.
If you don't mind, would you give me those statutes again?
I can, and I can work up a distribution for every school district that's within that area. And come back and present it to you.
Do that,
Splendid.
Because otherwise I'm going to vote to accept what you give us. I please do that.
Okay. Do you want to post it, or I don't know if we can do this under administrative. You actually have to have a vote for it.
If we need a vote, let's post it specifically.
Let's do it for Monday. Is that all right? Is Monday too late, Donna?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if interest occurs, then we'll just add the interest and distribute the interest. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
Splendid.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, the next thing that I'd like to discuss, if it's all with you guys, is kind of go into the meeting process. We kind of have left that one unfinished. I know we have some personnel issues we wanted to go into specifically at some time today, and then if meeting minutes aren't going to get to it, we need to kind of just table them. Whatever you'd like to do, sir.
I'd like to move the minutes till tomorrow. There's no way that we...
Great.
Because we've not had a time to read one more paragraph on them. I have an appointment at 4 o'clock, and individuals coming in.
Okay.
And if we're going to work on this, we need to work on this. And then I don't, how much time do we need on the personnel issues?
They actually can wait till tomorrow. They aren't pressing. I just needed to discuss it with the commission. And since I'm going to be talking about specific individuals, it can wait till tomorrow. It's not pressing. So. We have to get a apportionment or an appropriation request first from the clerk, then the payment request comes in. So there's a process. We're at the very beginning before to your process, the treasurer's. Personnel can wait till tomorrow since we're posted tomorrow at 2:30 anyway with Pat Keck, I believe. So mine can wait for personnel.
Okay.
And then so I would say I'll move that we table minutes until 1 o'clock Tuesday, February 8th.
Okay.
Second. You made a motion.
I moved that we table the minutes that we were going to approve today.
Yeah, I'll second it.
To tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Second.
And we will be back from the Foresight. No, that's not the chamber lunch.
No, we just have the 9:30 airport board, and then we go into 1 o'clock.
Which says school district funds.
That's regarding that?
I don't know.
Okay. That's part of what I want to talk about, meeting process.
Well, this is Debbie Redford.
Yes, it's Debbie Redford. So
we can't bump her, is what I'm saying. And she's going to be here for an hour. How about why don't we move to that at 3:30?
Tomorrow?
The personnel, we're posted for today, and that will cover you.
At 3:30, we have juvenile expenses.
Today.
3:30 today?
Yes.
For what?
Personnel, that's what you wanted to move.
Yeah, but you have a 4 o'clock.
How much time did you need?
Well, that's not, we can do that tomorrow at 2:30. What I'm talking about is the meeting minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's on second? That's what's on second. No, we have personnel ready for 2:30. I'm talking about meeting minutes.
9 o'clock? In the morning.
Where?
We're at the
airport at 9:30.
Airport, and I'm going to be at
That's why I said 1 o'clock. We can start the meeting off real fast with that.
Done.
Then I need a second to my motion. Oh, you had a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Motion's been made and seconded. We table...
Who's on
the approval of meeting minutes until tomorrow at 1 o'clock. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carried unanimously.
All right.
Sorry for the confusion.
So the next thing to talk about then was meeting process. There's a lot of things to talk about, but one thing that I see that I wouldn't say struggle, but has been unclear or inconsistent in the 2 years I've been serving here. Danny probably could attest longer, and we've just experienced it just now, is I would like a more formal process to get when people ask for something to be on the agenda. So many times I don't know like tomorrow I know we have school district funds, and I really don't know more than that.
Well, it's one of the things that we've chatted about previously. It would be nice to have every item that comes before the county commission be vetted first. So if it's a road and bridge matter, it comes through the road and bridge department. If it's a planning and zoning matter, it comes through planning and zoning.
Right.
And so on and so on. So that, in fact, when something comes to the commission, it's already been vetted and we have someone here to discuss it that has knowledge of it and has an option or alternatives for us to utilize in moving forward. So here's what this is, gentlemen. Here's 3 options, A, B, C, and we recommend option B. And then the commission's function will be, after this has been fully vetted, is to make the decision rather than to hear the entire scenario of whatever item it is that we're listening to and background. Just be present for the decision. We're a ways from getting there.
Right.
But agenda building certainly a part of that.
Okay.
Since we don't have the department schooled on how we're going to do that just yet, what's your suggestion?
Well, in the very limited meeting process document that we approved 2 years ago when I first came on board, it basically said that any one commissioner could put something on the agenda, any two could take it off. I have no issues per se with that. What I do have an issue is not having any preparatory time to review the documentation of what's on the list. And it's not so much the commission, it's for outside the commissioners who want something on the agenda. Quite often we don't have any of the facts of what's on the agenda until they present it to us. And so there's no prep time. So we're not able to enter into a meaningful conversation because we don't have any of the supporting documentation or we haven't done any of the research. What I'd like to do is go to some sort of we have an agenda request form that we have used in the past for a Monday morning. I'd like for us to do that for every agenda item. So if someone says, I want to be on the agenda to talk with the commission on a Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have a form so they can fill it out, but they do it 8 days before the meeting. Now, the 8 days is because if we don't meet the rest of that week, a lot of times we do agenda review on Fridays and on sometimes on Mondays, but that gives us time to get the documentation from the requester of what they're asking for. And it's really more of the other departments, other elected officials, and people outside the county commission's office. That's a request I've got is, for example, I don't know what they're talking about tomorrow at 1 o'clock on school district funds. I literally don't have a clue, except that it's on the agenda and Debbie Redford's coming to speak to us. Now, I trust Debbie, but I have no idea if it's her, if it's a group of 10 people. Are they going to require a vote? Is it posted properly? We have none of those questions. And so I'd like to get a better form so that when we do meet, we don't have to say, oh, we didn't post it right, we'll have to reschedule. Because we've done that, I mean, since I've been here, we've done a lot, Danny. I know we have.
Yeah.
So some sort of, but I'd like to do it 8 days. What I don't like is being sprung upon a subject that I haven't had a chance to do any research to be able to enter into a conversation. We do have an agenda sheet, like I said, and I've got some thoughts on how I'd change it, but, you know, the biggest thing really is 8 business days or eight days before they requested time. So that gives us a full week to get their information together prior to us putting it on the agenda. Because people are always requesting Nikki and Jillian, can I put this on? And they don't know. And the biggest thing is give me the facts so we can discuss it part of our agenda review.
So let me ask this.
Yes, sir.
You don't think we have enough time if we receive that information on a Thursday morning? We work Thursday mornings looking through what agenda is going to be for the following Monday?
No. Because sometimes on subjects I have to do, we may do research with the IS department, with the assessor's department.
But and I hear what you're saying. And my point is, if we have to have those departments, what would be nice is if every item that comes in, every individual that wants to speak to the commission was directed to whichever department it was they need to come through before they get to commission.
That'd be
and
nice.
They could present us with a packet. Like in many commissions that I go to, you've got packets that you receive ahead of the meetings. You have the opportunity to go through those packets before you ever hear a word that's spoken regarding that issue. You have studied it, and that's very, very
important. I mean, cities do it with city administrators.
Right.
Counties do it with county administrators. It's very difficult when you have county commissioners without that administrative, that single point of contact. We don't have that luxury of that person right now.
Right.
That's where that step. We have to skip the step, which is we have to make it as plain as possible for whoever, you know, if it's Nikki, if it's Jillian, if it's someone covering the office, but a form that they can fill out and to say, this is the standard process, because what I don't want is what we've had in the past, which is here's the form, fill it out, and then we know them, oh, don't worry about it, and if it's a hot topic, then we don't, you know. And I know a lot of things that were happened in the last multiple years for me won't happen this going forward, but just a standard 8-day waiting period for us to get the research necessary, because we don't have a county administrator, we don't have a you know, a single point person. That's why I say 8 days.
Jim, I have thought about this same thing as we've discussed different meeting times. I'm not grasped onto your total 8 day deal yet, because sometimes things are time sensitive. But I do understand that we have discussed Tuesday meetings before, so that we would have Monday or have the weekend as we do the agenda review on Friday and have that period of time to look up something or discuss it.
Right.
I understand all that. But the 8 day deal, I'm not quite grasping what you're
going to say. Okay, why I picked 8 days. It's you know.
So Thursday before the
following Monday.
Before the following Monday.
Yeah. What it basically is someone comes and says, I want to be on your Monday agenda. Okay, in 8 days you can be on the agenda. That gives us a full working week to did the research. Quite often, you know, with our travel schedule on the MAC requirements and going to GFC now through May, every week one of us is out of the office in Jeff City. And if it happens to be me, it's 1 day less that I can research. I mean, I just want to make the time the most useful for everyone involved.
And well, it also gives them time to put together. Actually, we should require that information of anybody wanting to be on.
Correct.
The agenda is a packet.
They need to give us the information.
And we have that ahead of time.
And the 8 days is something that so often I saw last year is someone would speak at the Monday morning in public comment. And I'm not saying we're going to have public comment at that time or whatever, but they would get... They would want to be on the agenda the following Monday because something was said that was an error or offended them or whatever. And so they automatically want to be back on the next Monday agenda because that's the time the media covers us and all that. I appreciate that and the passion toward some of the subjects that they have. I just want to make sure that if we're going to put it on the agenda, there's a process for it, and I know where they're coming from. Regarding timelines and time sensitive, most of the people know when their things are due, reports are due. I mean, we juggle how many deadlines and timelines. Some of the other departments have a few key milestones. And a lot of times it's grants. Well, the grant writers, and they know when the timelines are. And we're just training them to come to us 8 days before. And so I don't think it's that unrealistic. All I'm trying to do is give us adequate time to be prepared. That's all I'm trying to do. And that gives me time to say, okay, we'll take it, Nikki, go find out this question. Because they may give us a packet and it's incomplete, and we may have more questions to say, we need this information, or otherwise we're going to push it back. And that's why I'm thinking 8 days. And that's where I came to the 8 day thing. Part of my thoughts also, just want to let you know, is having two commissioners put it on the agenda. But I like the process of going to the agenda reviews that we've been doing, and we could set the agenda review time on Thursdays. You know, and that gives us time to approve it.
That's good as well. But something I would also like to see, and I think it fits right in, is for us to meet in session, say 45 minutes ahead of when we.
Basically a work session like they do with the city.
If you will, a preliminary meeting where we can sit, and I can say, okay, to the staff, what is such and such? Or if I just got this packet, or this has just been added to it, or if I've just been handed minutes, I'll be able to read those minutes. Something to get me ready for the meeting, basically. Open to the public, not close it at all, but before we go air and start talking about these agendized items, it gives us some time together to hear from somebody about what this is.
We've talked about having work sessions. I think some of this requiring documentation will help that process.
Will.
That, because we'll know 8 days ahead of time what's coming up, so we aren't blindsided by anything.
I don't have any problems trying that.
And we can work on the form. The other thing, I mean, we're talking about meeting process, and I'm not looking for votes or anything. In the past, public comment, I'm just throwing it out here, we have in our policy under public comment, we give ourselves the option to report back or get into a dialogue about a public comment item. A public comment item is something that's not been posted on the agenda, so we are not to have a discussion about based off of what I understand the Sunshine Law. So we don't want to have any meaningful discussion about an item that's not been posted through the agenda process. So I would like us to revise what we've done in the past and strictly say that the commission will not comment on anything that is any comments in the public comment section of the meeting. So that's just a thought. It's two concerns I have. I won't be prepared to have a discussion, so I'm caught off guard, which is what they want. A lot of times when public comment comes up, so making sure that the public understands we're not going to comment on anything you have. If you want a discussion, it has to go through the agenda process, which is an 8-day, give us the details so there's no more surprises. Because it seems like there's certain people that have tried to catch us off guard over time by surprising us. And that's not fair to us, for us to know everything about everything at any time. So anyway, I'd like us to reconsider that section in the meeting process, which is the commissioners will not make comments on anything that's public comment.
And I spoke to both of you last year individually regarding this matter as well. And I had on the document that you had furnished me that we were speaking from, it's written, any citizen may register prior to the commission meeting and be allowed to speak for 5 minutes. First, let me ask you this. Public comment, something that you wanted at these meetings. And if it is, then that's something that we should leave in. I agree that we need to strike the second half of that. If any commissioner asks any questions, the citizen will be allowed an extra 5 minutes total.
Right.
That once an individual has made his presentation, as raw as it was this morning that we received.
Right.
And we say, thank you for your comments, duly noted, next.
And just for those listening.
That's how it's handled in many, many counties.
And just those listening, what I'm suggesting and what I'm talking about is nothing. This is the same conversation I had when we got that approved. Branson doesn't do it. No one else does it except Taney County enter into a dialogue on public comment. Otherwise, they say, like you said, thank you for your comment, next. Because it's not a posted item for us to, you know, we may have an opposing view from somebody if we get into a dialogue. Plus, it's hard to manage your time that way. So I would like for us to reconsider or consider taking that second part out of there.
I understand what you're doing, and I've voiced my displeasure with people standing behind that podium on air and blatantly either lying about the commission or lying about something in Taney County. And I know that that the job as commissioner is probably to sit and take that abuse, but it's not very popular with me, and it's not very popular with my personality. And so if you gentlemen want to pursue this, that's fine, but I think that there should be some source of, if a direct lie is spoken behind the podium, that the presiding commissioner has the opportunity to ask the person to control their comments. If we all know that it's a lie and the public knows it's a lie.
Maybe one comment before Ron says anything. I believe the presiding commissioner is going to make sure that the subject stays to county-related business. That's first and foremost. And I think that guideline will be watched stringently. That's probably the first thing that would come to mind. Now, the other thing, I don't know how Ronnie wants to deal with that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I don't have.
You said the other thing.
The other thing, right, no, there. I'm eagerly waiting to hear how Ron wants to address the second one when there's a blatant. I mean, people sometimes lie because either on purpose or just ignorance. And I don't know if that's still the format, because we're not trying to get into a dialogue. We're trying to hear from the public on an item that's not on the agenda. And that's the only way to do it, unless they want to go through the formal process.
understand.
It happens. You know, people are inaccurate. I mean,
I understand it more today than I did 6-7 years ago.
Me too. 2 years ago, this has been an eye opening.
The thing of it is it's just a.
Here's what I think, Dan. Can I jump in? And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine.
I think everybody has the right to come. Everybody has the right to speak. Not everybody's going to agree with what we do. That's a proven. That's a given. But they have the right to voice their opinion. And there's going to be many times that they voice an opinion that I don't agree with. But because it's public comment, I don't believe we should debate it. I don't think we should respond. And I don't believe we should give them a second chance to respond after we've responded. That creates an atmosphere that we don't need. Just to hear the comments, accept the comments, and move to the next person. And I can do that. And I will, with the best of my ability, control that they stay on track. And if they begin to get abusive with other people, whether they're in this courthouse or outside this courthouse, I will inform them that we're not going to do that here. And if they have something of substance that they want to deliver to us, we'll listen to it. I don't intend, personally, to allow the same person week after week after week after week to come back and say the same thing. And I will make that abundantly clear if, in fact, they come back the second week and start the same process all over again. Because the very point of having a public comment is to allow individuals to come in and state what they feel. Well, we've got 40,000 other individuals in the county maybe that should come up to the plate before that person comes back. Now, we're not restricting them like that, but they have and should have the opportunity to state what they feel. No one likes to be railed at. I hate it, and I'm going to catch it probably more than anybody. And I know you and I disagree on that one point. I just don't think we should answer them during public comment for a number of reasons, the least of which is it's not posted.
Right.
And we should not be discussing it. And to get into that murky water could or could not be a violation of the Sunshine Law. And we have to be very careful, as indicated today. We're going to be accused of all kinds of things.
I totally understand, Ron, and I respect you and Jim's opinion. I can give you circumstances where, and I'll not mention names, but two former commissioners came forward and made statements of why we didn't do things a certain way and how come things weren't done better at this time. And I made one simple statement, and they both returned to their seat. And the statement was, you sat in that position 4 or 8 years, and you didn't make the changes yourself. What are you here complaining to us about it? Now, so that is the kind of deal, and they automatically didn't say another word but returned to their seat. And that's a person can be straightforward and honest, or they can sit there and take the abuse and let some newspaper person or I can have no complaints on the radio station, but have some new newspaper person that is not hasn't been to very many meetings. And they make a headline out of somebody's statement up there that's totally false.
Right.
And then it causes more and more and more problems for us. I had some people this weekend say that recognized me, and they said, boy, you're not a very popular person with the news media this week. And I said, well, I'm not a very popular person with news media any a week. So, anyway, I understand what you're saying. I will adhere to what you're trying to do here with this meeting. It keeps it more civil. Some statements made about people this morning. Half-truths are worse than lies. And sometimes those half-truths are what we hear at the podium, and they cause all kinds of problems.
Right.
And counsel, I guess, could, if there's certain statements made, there was names mentioned behind the podium this morning, and counsel could interrupt and say, hey, we're not going to have that because
Yeah, what I'm trying to avoid though is confrontation. It takes two to argue. They're trying to. There, a lot of comments, and I'm not specifically talking about just today. A lot of comments are just to try to get a rise out of us, to for us to say something so that they get something in the press. Mm. I mean, people in the past have used our 9 o'clock meeting for their gain, and what we have got to do is restore order. And one of the ways is not to argue. They can say all they want. I mean, you know, the press did not ask for clarification from anybody's public comment this morning. I got no request of, so I would assume that they're not going to write a story unless they're just going to do one perspective. That's not my my thing is we can clear it up without going into an argument. We can make a factual statement and to be done with it.
That comes to my second point.
Right.
I'm in total agreement with exactly what you guys have stated. If we press release our opinions mm-hmm. to the press in a subject matter referring to issues.
But I can also tell you that the press is very eager to report an accurate story, and they don't want to be one up by the other newspaper. And if one newspaper doesn't ask you for a quote to set the record straight and the other one does, the other one will eventually learn that, oh, I better get the opinion and get the facts straight. Otherwise, they'll be starting viewed as an inaccurate story.
Right.
So I'm not so concerned with the accuracy because we're going to have that all the time.
I'll go with you on this, not responding to public comment. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to go with you on 8 days.
Okay.
But
what would you...
I don't know what to say on that, Jim. I really... The thing is... 8 days for a concern of the public is an eternity. And sometimes on heated issues, that 8 days is long enough to let people have a common sense approach to that particular issue, or they get outside, somebody says to them, you know, you ought to think about this before you bring it forward or something like that.
Right.
But I understand that. But I'm not sold on 8 days before we respond to issue.
Well, just kind of walk through the process real fast. Bob, I mean, you're here because you have those two documents you're working on, right?
Yeah, I can do let's, a better job with more time. But
let's pause this conversation okay. And see what Bob has, because that's right. Part of the personnel policy.
That's fine.
Ron, is that right with you?
Absolutely.
One has six paragraphs and one has... seven.
And I say paragraphs. Some paragraphs are one sentence.
What I did is went up to Bob, gave him the notes that I had, and this is what, this is first. This is draft number one. So,
okay. For the first one, you said you wanted two different policies, and it says early retirement for voluntary termination of employment policy for full-time employees of Taney County, Missouri. Purpose: this temporary policy offered for a limited time. Is proposed to provide an incentive to those Taney County, Missouri employees who are contemplating termination of their employment with Taney County to act now, thereby reducing the number of current Taney County employees. Eligibility, details of policy, eligibility. Any current full-time employee at Taney County may apply to the Human Resources Department for a retirement agreement. A current employee is defined as an employee who is currently in the payroll system and receiving regular paychecks. The decision to request a retirement agreement is at the sole discretion of the employee. No employee shall in any manner be coerced by any Taney County elected official or employee to request or accept a retirement agreement. Two, termination of employment. After application is completed, the employee wishing to receive compensation in return for early retirement or termination shall voluntarily and irrevocably relinquish employment effective February 28, 2011 at 5 p.m. Release. Any employee opting to participate in this early retirement program shall execute all documents required by Taney County. At a minimum, the employee shall execute a settlement and release in return for any compensation under this policy. Number four, compensation. Taney County shall compensate any employee qualifying for the retirement agreement $200 for each year said employee has been employed by the county. Retirement agreement compensation shall be paid with the final check to the employee. Number five, elected officials do not qualify for this program. Number six, policy sunsets on February 28, 2011 at 5 p.m. The other
okay,
one...
hold on.
What was that last sentence?
policy sunsets on February 28, 2011 at 5 p.m.
Okay, go back up to the top. If I'm not mistaken, you said voluntary?
Here it is.
This would not be for the voluntary. One should be for those who are being terminated.
I understand. We can enter into agreements with them. I don't know that you would do an early retirement policy for people who you're planning on terminating. You might, if I may, if you want somebody.
What I'm thinking is what's combined here has the termination date of February 28th, which is the termination date of all those who are leaving involuntarily.
Correct. You wouldn't do a policy like this for those who are leaving involuntarily. You might enter into an agreement, a settlement and release agreement, and have them sign it in return for compensation, and you can do compensation however you wish to do compensation in return for their voluntarily terminating their employment, even though it may have been involuntarily terminated, and agreeing to release, etc., in return for that sum of money. You can enter into an agreement like that for people, but I don't know that you'd do a retirement policy for people that you were already planning on terminating.
What would you call it? Because that's what we're doing.
I would call it a settlement and release agreement, and you would enter into one with those employees.
I guess I'm confused. Isn't that what we're doing here?
Yeah, the name is what we used, the previous name. I don't want to make it. That's what we're doing. What Ron is saying is this is for the individuals affected by the budget cuts. That's what this is. So the wording may need to be changed, even the title, but that's for the positions that were eliminated.
Yes. For those people, you're free to enter into a settlement agreement with them, and you might want to put down a very brief policy that you'll be entering into these settlement agreements or whatever, and then you just enter into them with the people you're terminating. However, an early retirement policy is something very different. I mean,
and that's what that is.
You're incentivizing people to leave of their own volition.
Right. So that maybe we change some wording on that, Ron. Then.
Well, just help me out. Are you saying that this wording works with this verbiage, or we should change this wording?
Some of the wording throughout needs to be changed.
I'm talking about the title.
The title needs to be changed for the ones by February 28th.
Okay.
Would you work on that then, Bob? Sure. Make some notes on that right there. So.
That's okay. Let's go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
This one is pretty much identical, except paragraph 2, termination of employment after application is completed. The employee wishing to receive compensation in return for early retirement and termination shall voluntarily and irrevocably relinquish employment effective May 31st, 2011 at 5 p.m. And the same releases would be required. You still wanted $200 mm-hmm. per year, except on the eligibility, instead of any full-time employee, this is any current full-time employee at Taney County who was also vested in the county employee's retirement fund may apply to the Taney County Human Resources.
But that's what we said.
Yep. Yeah.
And then
before you go further, right here, it's effective. It kind of makes it sound like that they have to work until that date. Could we make that honor before that date?
Sure. And I can make that change. But then I also added a paragraph that you wanted added, so there's 7 to this.
Now, this may be the one that I was unsure about. Go ahead and add
paragraph
this.
5, breach of agreement. Any eligible employee who opts to utilize this policy/program and receives compensation hereunder shall not be employed again by Taney County, Missouri, or any of its agencies for at least 1 year after termination of employment. Any such employment prior to May 31st, 2012 shall be a breach of the agreement with Taney County, and said employee shall be required to pay back any compensation paid under this agreement or under this policy. And then you would also have an agreement. You're also going to have a settlement agreement with any one of these.
Okay. And then these two should coincide somehow because of its honor before. I don't know that you can use that verbiage down there, but
right.
You know what I'm saying.
Okay.
That sounds great, I think.
I do too.
That's
what we talked about.
States what we talked about. I agree.
Do you want him to work on the new title and make sure the verbiage is on the first one? Because that's the more pressing of the two.
Yeah. This can be very brief. I mean, basically what you're going to do is make them, if they want this, sign a settlement and release agreement.
Right.
And for that, they'll receive XXX, and they are not prohibited from coming back.
Correct.
I think, which is an important point.
Right. They're not prohibited from coming back if they're so employed by...
If there's a position that opens up, they are eligible for rehire if the position and the skill set matches up.
But you're paying consideration to them in the amount of $200 per year of service for their agreement to sign a settlement and release agreement so that...
So it doesn't, it's not a bonus. It's a, there's an agree, there's an exchange.
There's a bargain for an exchange. There's consideration for the agreement. They're signing a release. They're getting the money. They're going away. Rather than having a situation where you haven't done anything wrong, but where they could, you know, give you trouble with a lawsuit or something like that, even if it has no merit.
Very good. Thank you, Bob.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Ron, do you need to stop at 4 or right before 4? Do you have to drive somewhere?
No. Gentleman's coming here.
Okay. Go back to meeting processes?
Yeah.
Pushing gears?
Yeah, I'm not. I'd like you to jump over to J.
All right.
Second page, which is subsection 5. That's on this.
Yeah. It's not in that handbook.
Yeah, no.
And I'll read that. First, number 4. This speaks to procedures for regular agenda. Someone gets on the agenda. The county commission may address the issues. If we want staff to address the issues, we can call on staff to address an issue. Presiding commissioner shall obtain a motion. There shall be a second before there's debate regarding the issue. All of that makes sense. Commissioners shall be allotted time to present their positions and concerns if they so desire. Makes sense. Here's the part I disagree with. If John Doe of the public comes forth to give a presentation before the county commission and does so, they're there to talk to the county commission. We're there to interact with that individual regarding whatever it is that they're presenting to the county commission. They're not here to interact with anybody who happens to be in the audience that's listening to their presentation and their interaction with the county commission. Number 5 says, interested members of the community may also have an opportunity to express their positions on an item. Testimony or discussion by interested members of the community in support or opposition of an issue may be limited by the presiding commissioner when the discussion has become repetitive, and any commissioner may request the same to the presiding commissioner. Additionally, the presiding officer may set a time limit for discussion, and any commissioner may request the same to the presiding commissioner. Number 6, commissioners shall have additional time if desired to respond to statements expressed by interested members of the community. What I think is we need to strike number 5 and number 6, leave those out, so that when someone goes through whatever hoops they have to go through in the bureaucracy of getting to the county commission, when they come, the questions will be asked by the commissioners. The dialogue between the three commissioners and whoever it is that's giving the presentation, not the public. Now, when we have public hearings on issues and the public is invited to speak and we're seeking their opinions, that's the time that obviously the public should be voicing their opinions regarding
and I agree
any given issue.
The challenge, not the challenge, education. A lot of people don't know the difference between a hearing and a meeting. And that's part of the education process of those who participate or have sat through a meeting is you're exactly right, Ron. In a hearing where it's public comment and you receive the pros and cons, absolutely. And that's part of the education process of those in the audience who have not experienced it. So they'll be, I agree with you on what you're requesting, but there's going to have to be, I wouldn't say leniency, but there's going to have to be some ability for the citizen who's used to saying something negative to it, or wants to have an opposing view, I should say, how do they voice their opposing view? Is the question they're going to say. I don't agree with you. You're going to make a vote, and you're not going to hear from the public. How do we respond to that? Because that's
number one. It all goes back to I believe that every issue that comes before the county commission needs to be vetted through the proper department.
Right.
So if it's a P&Z issue, it's already gone through P&Z, and the administrator makes a presentation to this commission. If it's a road and bridge issue, it's already gone through road and bridge, and the administrator makes the presentation. Or whatever other department that it falls under, that individual makes the presentation. We make the decision. Because it's P&Z, it's already gone through a public process of the individuals having the right to discuss the issue.
Okay. I mean, I can give you a scenario.
Go ahead.
It's maybe a what if. Gosh, I don't want to pick on anyone.
Well, let me. And while you're waiting to come up with your scenario, I believe that we should, at least on a quarterly basis, as Dan has suggested and in the past, is have night meetings.
Right.
And those would be public hearings.
Okay.
We will have a short agenda that we can work through that doesn't take very long, and then it open it up to discussion from those throughout the community that don't have an opportunity to come to county commission meetings between 8 and 5.
That'd
be a great time for the public to chat with us about whatever issues they have on their mind. I'd like to take that one step further. I believe that we should have meetings that are held outside of this courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin County, for example, has one meeting a year that they have at their county fair. They have a county commission meeting at their county fair. Don't you know that's a little bit?
that'd be a treat.
And, but to go to the community of Bradleyville or go to the community of Ridgedale or whether it be Branson or Forsyth,
right,
wherever, conduct a county commission meeting and ask for public input. We need to do that. We need to hear from the citizenry.
Ron.
Yes, sir.
I think that would be a perfect deal for our nightly meetings that we have quarterly for the 8-day deal. That would give us an agenda for them to have prepared, and we can have the media.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I would. The 8-day, I think there needs to be, Danny, some sort of time for the commission to prepare for an agenda item.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's what it comes down to. The attempt is to catch the commission off guard, and not all the time, but so often it has been. And I want to have adequate time so that I can be prepared to have a dialogue, because so many times I'll say, oh, you're right, I don't know. And so it sounds like we don't know anything, when the fact we didn't have any time to prepare, and this person may have had 6 months. That's why I chose 8 days, just because of the schedule and all the other things we do in a week. We need adequate time to prepare to be able to have a meaningful discussion. That's why, on any agenda item that's outside the commission.
And regardless of what the length of time is, our public is going to grow accustomed to whatever the procedure is that we put in place, and it won't take very long for them to adapt to that. And I agree, from the perspective of here in-house, it would sure make our meetings flow a lot better if we had the packet for each individual
Absolutely.
Item and we had, in fact, vetted all the information that we have to go through before we hear someone. If we're in Bradleyville and we've set up a meeting and the people come to chat with us, they may have only heard about it the day before. They may have only heard about it 2 days before. And we just, my thought was, let's go and ask them what they think the county's doing right, what they think the county's doing wrong, what they think we can do better. We're going to get some stuff we don't want to hear, and we're going to get some good ideas that come from the
And community. We may call it a town hall meeting, and so that we can have some discussion, but there'll be no votes, so people know that we're just, you know, we're there to clarify. Maybe they have a statement. They say, what about the budget? And they may have a question that needs to be clarified, and then if there's, I mean, basically, it's not a whole lot of dialogue. It's more, let me hear from you what the issues are in this area.
I like the town meeting idea.
I think you misunderstood me. On the meetings that we would have nightly,
uh-huh.
If we'd had a quarterly nightly meeting here, I think that the 8-day preparation would be great, that we don't run into a extended meeting of people coming in and self-venting on issues that doesn't have anything to do with the county. We have an agenda set up, and we address those agenda items in front of all the public.
Right.
Now, you're talking about town hall meetings. I'm talking about regular commission night meeting.
I think it should be any commission meeting. Any agenda item needs to have a certain period of time that we're able to research and be prepared for.
Okay.
I mean, and if 8 days is too long, I'm open to something, but we've got to have, I need to be able to have a meaningful conversation, some sort of preparation time. Because it's just, I think it's a bad reflection on the commission if we're not prepared. You know, so often, I remember last year, who put this item on the agenda? And all of us said, oh, I don't know. That's horrible. It makes us look worse. I mean, the job's hard enough without us trying to help everyone make us look bad. So I really think that if it's not 8 days, if it's 6 days, if it's 7 days, some amount of time for us to get adequate information to be prepared.
And you use the 8 days from the day after a regular meeting until the next
I use it specifically so it's not a one during some challenging times over the last 2 years, a Monday item was on the agenda, okay, and it was a public comment, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the meeting's over. They didn't sign up before the meeting because we have a sign up before. I'm coming back, and the next Monday they're here, and then it's almost like a tennis match. It's volleying back and forth. I remember at certain times our meeting room would be full of people because one side brought more people than the other side, and it just became more ridiculous. And then all of a sudden some stuff got on the agenda, and it's just we just need a process to try to minimize that and actually get some work done, get some business done, and the only way to do that is be informed. So,
what if I agree to, assume that I can see that you're thinking along the same lines, and I'm thinking that we need, I've said all along that we needed something different than a Monday meeting so we could be prepared. So what if I hate to put this in policy until we have a experimental time frame with it. If it works great, I would say just go ahead and apply it to a policy. But if it's something is a hitch in it that we can't see, I mean, you say that other entities use the same but they have a administrator.
Like the city of Branson, you know, they make sure, and I don't want to mean to speak for Dean Krutoff or Rick Ziegenfuss, but they have a process in which someone wants to have a discussion before the alderman. The packet is provided. Dean or Rick make sure that they have all the information. Then they go to a work session where they discuss this item. They vet it, like Ron says, fully vet the item. And if it hadn't been gone through at a department, Dean or Rick may make sure it goes through a certain department before it comes before the alderman. At that point, they go through the alderman. They vet it in the work session. So when it goes to full session, I mean, they do it in planning and zoning, too. There's a work session before the planning and zoning meeting. And that's when you want to know the details of a project, you know, and it's a very more casual, it's still an open meeting, but it's just a more casual meeting. And then they go, you know, the final meeting in front of the public, so to speak, is much more organized and precise, but it's because they have that extra person. We don't have that person. So that's why we need to have a waiting period, because we got to be able to do our own research and make sure, did you go through PNZ? The example I was going to give you, Ron, was going through the departments, and I don't want to, you know, I have an example, but that's not necessary right now.
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No, you're not, Danny. I mean, and I want to know from your perspective. Here's a question I've got for you, Ron. Let's say, I'll give you an example. We went through the Road and Bridge last year came to us about road standards, okay? Mm-hmm. Road and Bridge worked about the policy internally to themselves. So it came through that process. They came for the commission for us to vote on the Road and Bridge, okay? We had a dialogue between the Road and Bridge administrator and this commission. And What I'm trying to understand is, I'm going back to what you said you'd like to see number five taken out and number six taken out here. How would the public have interaction about that standards? Where would that come from?
We need to set up a procedure wherein whatever department that is that they're going through, such as Road and Bridge, has an opportunity to speak to the public. So our administrator, whether it's in this very room or not, would conduct a meeting about that specific issue before they bring it to the commission. So he's heard the pros and cons, still has a recommendation for us. And can, in fact, if they take those meetings and reduce them to writing, then we can receive that and have all the information to study.
Okay.
That's just one way, but...
Well, planning and zoning can do the same thing. Sewer already does that. Planning and zoning does that, so...
Most of the items that we get, or that I have witnessed over the course of the last couple of years, by being back around the courthouse, individuals coming just to share something with the county commission.
Right.
Well, it's an announcement.
Right. They're getting free press.
They're getting free press. That's what it is. And it seems like that they could do that if they went to the press, rather than to come here and take the time that I'm going to do such and such, or I'm opening such and such, or... It just seems that
much
of the commission's time is spent on listening to announcements or on listening to somebody complain about somebody else.
Right. I'm fine with that. I mean, Ron, what I would say is I'd like to, whatever changes we try to do or we agree upon, that we set a point where we revisit this and see how it's going and make adjustments.
I think that's very important.
So, I mean, if it's 60 days, if it's 90 days, you know, give it time for it to work out. We can't do it 30 days because I don't think it works. The cycle works through.
Let's
so
just talk quarterly. I mean, as far as our business where we make adjustments, talk quarterly unless we see some real abrupt situation that needs to be addressed right then. Let's talk visiting policy procedure that we have taken on as this commission quarterly for the first maybe even – you know, maybe at least a couple of times. And then that way we get a perspective of how the public accepts it. We get a perspective of how it's working for the commission. That's the main thing, is how this is working for the commission.
Right.
But the public, how they accept what we're trying to do is important to us. That's who we work for. So that would be something I'd be interested in doing, revisiting these issues if... that fell on a quarterly dates, and look, the public has an idea that we're working off a quarterly basis as far as trying to understand our process, our new process. This is something that we're going to be doing that's different, and I believe it's a good deal. I think that one thing that we haven't done a whole lot of is press releases because we've been working on this budgetary process so much, but I'm ready. I'm ready to release what we talk about to the public in a press release to the media so it gets to the public the way we want it to get there and the way it should be. I mean, so many things are misinterpreted. So we issue the press release, give it to the members of the press, and that is the way that we decided to conduct business. I mean, are you again revisiting this in the quarterly or
of course
sitting?
Not.
No.
Right now, what we're doing today is talking about different areas that are within this document that you all had adopted rules of procedure for meetings.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that we need to change number I under regular meetings, which is the 5 minutes for.
And make say commissioners will not comment, right? I'm making changes to this document.
Well, either just delete that or add it. I mean, if any commissioner asks any questions, if you just delete that, it's the same as.
Okay.
Or commissioners shall not be allowed to respond. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But on number five, if you gentlemen want to further define five and six. For different types of discussion that may come before us, so in fact that we don't inhibit or prohibit public comments on some issues, I certainly agree with that.
Ron, I just got an email. Your 4 o'clock is here.
I just appreciate that. I just am trying to steer us away from those things that I have noticed.
Or derailment, or derails the purpose of the, because really.
The commission has spent too much time arguing mm-hmm. with the public.
I agree.
And vice versa. And when that's happening, work's not getting done. And we need to find a way to better move business forward of the people. Dan, do you have another comment?
No, I agree with you.
All right. So we're going to stay in recess until tomorrow at 1 o'clock here at the 9:30. We may or may not have a quorum of commissioners over at the school board meeting, the airport board meeting. But otherwise, 1 o'clock here tomorrow.
Yeah, and I will be attending the
airport
deal, and then I am going to be visiting with my scheduled meeting last week with Mr. Mahoney.
Mm. Okay.
That may turn into a request to visit with the commission, but right now it's, I guess.
Okay.
Gentlemen, let's stand in recess until, or should we adjourn for the day until tomorrow?
Adjourn for the day.
Let's adjourn for the day until tomorrow morning, until 1 o'clock tomorrow here.
Yep.
If you all are going to be in attendance at that airport board meeting.
Yep.
I would entertain a motion for such.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. And gentlemen, I'm going to run up for that appointment.
All
Thank
right.
you for your time. Angie, we're done. Thank you.